About 4 or 5 years ago, my daughter and her husband visited the Greenwood Assembly in Toronto, and they had with them 2 friends from the States. And when it came to the breaking of bread, these friends, their eyes popped. They never saw anything like it. True worship was joy to be present this morning. A joy to be present even now. Now, I'm a lover of music. And I enjoyed your singing. You know what I enjoyed more? The 2 instrumentalists. I like the keyboard instruments. Now, I'm not a musician, but I have asked the Lord, if there is going to be a piano in heaven, I don't know. Please let me play. Turn with me, please, to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Now, we don't often read from that book, and some people call Habakkuk and those other 12, 11 prophets, minor prophets. Now, for the sake of the young people, there's nothing minor in the Bible. See? The speaker may be minor, but all that's in the Bible is major. Now, some prophets are longer, right? And some are shorter. But none are minor. The book of Habakkuk, please. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Our subject? The 5 woes. And when God says woe, it's a serious word, which if not obeyed, will result in serious judgment. 5 serious statements from God. Number 1, verse 6, middle of the verse. Woe to him that increases that which is not his. How long and to laden himself with thick clay. Now, I'm reading from the King James, you see, and many of your Bibles read otherwise, and even reading the King James, you say, well, what does that last sentence mean? So I'm going to give you a couple of translations. And as we go through this, beloved, notice how up-to-date this book is. That's particularly for the young. I could show you some examples of how up-to-date this book is, if we have time at another time. Things that we are just learning have been in here a long time. In recent years, people are talking about space. Am I right? It's been in here. Isaiah knew about space. He talked about it. Jeremiah knew about space, and we're just beginning to learn space. So, young folks especially, you go by this. And anybody that tells you anything that's different from what's in here, disregard it. And when they tell you where people came from, they started as a little this and a little that and gradually evolved. Nonsense. Now, when they tell you that in school, don't argue with them. You can't argue with them. They've got everything figured out to answer you. But you don't have to believe them. You listen and put the answer on the paper if you wish. I'm taking up a little extra time here, but I see so many lovely young people here. Learn what they tell you, but you don't have to believe it. Give you an example. A relative of mine. And I remember exactly, it was a Wednesday afternoon. She called me and she said, I think I'm in trouble. What happened? Well, I just had my examination in biology. So, what's so hard about biology? She said, that's not the point. I put a little note at the end of the examination. I have answered the above questions according to the theory of evolution. But I want you to know I don't believe in the theory of evolution. Now that takes courage, doesn't it? I wonder what the teacher would do. Next Wednesday she called me, voice full of joy. I said, well, how did you make out? Fine, I got an A in the subject. what about the question that you put down, the statement you put down there? The teacher wrote, neither do I. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 6. Woe to him that increases that which is not his. Woe to him who loads himself with promissory notes. Now, what is the modern contemporary version of this? Do you have credit cards in Canada? Well, that's what this is talking about. Buying up everything that you see and you can't pay for it. Isn't the book up to date? God says, whoa, you're in a bad way. Now, why do people do these things? Why do they spend money? No, they don't. They don't have the money. Purchase things on credit cards. And then they have to go to a counselor to help them out of it. I think it's all nonsense. If you don't have the money, don't buy anything. Greed, that's why they do it. Covetousness. I'll give you a good example. And mark you, this is not only among unlearned people. It happens among learned people. Several years ago, one of the doctors in the community bought a yacht, 28 feet long. Well, what do you think the next one did? This was 32 feet long. Just like a lot of little children. And the next one, his was 48 feet long. And these are supposed to be intelligent, trained minds. Greed. They just want to show that I'm bigger than you. I have more than you. Friend, how much do you want? How much do you really want? How much do you need? What are you seeking? Things? Do you know the story of the little boy? And he went to visit his uncle. And he said, Uncle, my daddy tells me that you own everything that we can see. All around is yours. The uncle said, yes, my boy, it's all mine. Uncle, how much do you have up there? That's where it comes. Because what's down here is going to rust. And those medals that the boys and girls have been winning at the Olympics, they're not forever. They're going to rust. But the treasure that you lay up in heaven is forever. Things, things, things. People want things. They wanted them then, they want them now. Now, it's amazing what you cannot do with things. Money can buy a bed, right? And in the States, they have all kinds of beds. Straw beds and water beds and single beds and queen beds and king beds. All kinds of beds. Can money buy sleep? See? Now, money can buy food. Am I right? And the ladies tell me that food is getting more expensive in the States anyway. How about up here? It's getting more expensive? The ladies know. All right. Money can buy food. Can it buy an appetite? When I was a boy, there was J.D. Rockefeller. He probably is the great-grandfather of the present day group. Had a lot of money. Multi-millionaire. You know what he said? I would give $1 million to anyone who can cook a meal that I will enjoy. So what's the use of all the money? Now, are there any millionaires here? I mean, temporal, earthly millionaires. But may I see your hands? Fine. But as I came up, especially in the car from the airport, I noticed a lot of McDonald's. And people don't have a lot of money, but they have good appetites. There is another thing that money cannot do. Money can buy books. Am I right? Can't buy brains. I remember when I was in school. You see, I came up in depression days. You youngsters don't know anything about depression. I'd like to tell you some stories about that. One with my granddaughter. Now, the brother told me, go on to 12, so I'll stop at 12, whether I'm finished or not. Now, when I came up, a penny was a lot. And a dime was much. But the children coming up today, they don't figure that way. I was going to the bookstore, and my granddaughter said, Grandpa, can I come along with you? Sure, but I'm not buying anything for you. Went there, purchased my book, and as we were going along, granddaughter said, Grandpa, look at that. I said, yes, but I told you I wasn't buying anything for you. But that's not much, it's only $5. That's a whole lot of money, even now to me. Things and how people evaluate things. But I was thinking about books and no brains. I had a classmate, and his people were well off. Every book that was advised, he bought. And I would borrow. And I have some notes today from some of those books that he bought. They didn't do him much good, but God was good to me. I'll just put it that way. And then money can buy clothing, can't it? We had a secretary. And they tell me that she wore the most expensive clothing from the most important ladies' shops on Fifth Avenue in New York. But it didn't add a thing to her. So money doesn't do everything. Tax collector once came to a man's house, knocked on the door. I'm the tax collector. Oh, come right in. Now that's unusual, isn't it? You don't invite the tax collector to come right in. You don't want to see him. Hope he goes somewhere. Come right in. I'm a rich man. Well, what are your riches? Well, I have a wonderful wife, 5 nice children. I have a home in heaven. I have eternal life. And he went on with all these things. And the tax collector said, well, that's all very good, but I can't collect on that. What do you have? Things? Things are only for the short time. Now the time is going, so we must go on to the next one. Verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness in his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. The simple meaning of this man wants to be alone. He wants to be secure with nobody around to bother him. That's what that verse is saying. Security. I dare say that almost everybody here has life insurance, right? Do you know that the name is wrong? It doesn't insure your life, it insures your death. Somebody gets the money when you die, but it doesn't secure you. Then there are all kinds of securities. Old age pensions. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have them. I'm just telling you they don't live up to their names. Because in the States, the old age pensions that they pay now are not up to the cost of living. You can't depend on any of those things. But what does God guarantee? Eternal life. Do you have it? Does everyone here have eternal life? Eternal. Now, mark you. Everybody is going to exist for all eternity. Even after you die, you're still going to exist. But to exist and to live are two different things. That poor fellow down in the gutter without knowing where his next meal is coming from, he is just existing. From the lovely people that I see here, you are living. You know where your next meal is coming from. Well, in eternity, everybody will exist, some below and some will live above. Now, there may be those here, you don't like the thought of going to hell. Terrible word to use from a platform on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Terrible word. But it's true. Do you know who the greatest authority on the subject is? The subject of hell? The greatest authority was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He spoke more about hell than anybody else. It's a real place. A genuine place. People want security. The only security that anyone has is through Jesus Christ. Salvation through him. You want to be secure? Even in this life, he'll make you secure. Without all the things that other people have, he guarantees your security. If you don't have Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not secure. Now you can have all the money you want and all the retirement benefits you want and all the other things. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you're not secure. There was a young man, like you young men and women here, and he too had a wealthy uncle. And he visited this uncle, and the uncle said, "Well, my boy, how are you making out?" "Oh, I'm in college." "Well, what then? I expect to get a degree." "What then? I expect to get a job." "What then?" "Well, I guess I'll get married." "What then? I'll have a house." "What then? I'll have children." Do you see what's happening? "What then?" "Well, I guess I'll get old." "What then? What then?" "I guess I'll die." And the uncle didn't stop there. "What then? What when you die? What is going to be your response?" And by the way, you know, you read in Ecclesiastes, death is an enemy, and when that enemy calls you, you can't drop out, you can't make any excuses. When he's ready, you go. What then? Accumulating things. But we go on to the next, because that clock is moving. And the next one is found in verse 12. Now, notice how modern this is. "Woe to him that builds a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity, violence and corruption." Now, we have it in the States. Do you have it up here? Or do you all have all nice sinners up here? Violence and corruption. 10 and 12-year-old children in the States murdering 3 and 4-year-olds. Violence and corruption. You know, when you go through the airport, you have to pass the place where they check on you to see if you have any missiles or other things like that. Well, now in New York City and in many cities in the States, they have them in the schools. Because the children go to school with guns, violence, and they kill other children. Violence and corruption. Now, how many of you here believe in violence? How many of you love violence? Nobody. Fine. Now, let me read you something, and you will tell me about this man and how you feel about him. Now, this was a man. Very brilliant. When he was 12 years old, he puzzled all those highly educated people. Now, is there anything wrong with that? It's fine. And then when he grew up, oh, I wish he were around today. He healed all these people, and I'm not talking about just some thing in their head. Real diseases. He healed them all, and he didn't charge anything. Now, do you object to him? Would you like to see him here today? You wouldn't have to worry about Medicare and Medicaid and all those other aids and things that they talk about. He healed the people and didn't charge anything. and he never practiced psychiatry. That's a big thing today. There may be psychiatrists here. I have to be very careful. And there may be psychologists here. But I'll tell you one thing. He healed them and he didn't charge anything. And he really healed them. With all due respect to the psychiatrists. Nice bunch of people. But I don't know anybody that's ever been healed by it. Now maybe you do. That's fine. I'll tell you something else about him. He never wrote a song. But all the songs that are written about him are more than all these other songs. Now tell me, do you have objection to this man? What's your objection to this man? Well, the people of his day crucified him. They didn't want him. A man that did all these wonderful things. I want to know from you, my friend, what's your objection to him? What is your objection to him? The incomparable Christ. What's your objection to him? I have a note here. And this goes back about 10 years. A boy born in 1976, 20 years ago, is more likely to die by murder than an American soldier in World War II. How's that? A boy born 20 years ago is more likely to be killed violently than a soldier in World War II. That's where we stand today. Violence and corruption. I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know if you would have him crucified again, and why, and for what reason. What has he done that you object to? What has he done that you have not received him as your Savior? Violence and corruption. But let's go on. Verse 15. Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, that puts the bottle to him, make him drunk, that they may look on their nakedness. Superiority complex. He's nothing, he's a drunkard, and I am who I am. Do you have a superiority complex? Do you feel better than the next man? You remember the words of that great preacher? There go I, as he looked at the drunkard, but for the grace of God. And there are too many of us who feel we're better than the next fellow. That was one of the things that God warned against. And there are some examples in the Bible. You remember the Pharisee and the publican in Luke 15, I think it is? They both went to the temple to pray. And here's a Pharisee. He starts out, God. Now that's no way to address God, see? That's no reverence. Then he says, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, even like this fellow down here, the publican. Is that your attitude? Is that the way you feel? Superior to all of those around? The holier-than-thou attitude. The only people like that? Superior. Holier-than-thou. I'm better than you. I know more than you. Tell me, child of God, are you proud? May I see the hands of all the proud people? Well, now you know that there's subtle varieties of pride. There's pride of face. And as I look through the audience, there's some fine-looking people in here. Are you proud of your face and of your looks? God says pride goes before a fall. Then there is pride of place. I have a higher job than you have. Maybe now you're beginning to see that you are proud, that you do have a superiority complex. And then, of course, we have the old question, pride of race. Such nonsense. And Christians, are you guilty of pride of grace? I know more Bible than you do. That's pride. And God objects to it under any circumstances. Humiliating others. Thinking little of others. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all. That man, that drunkard out there by the waterfront. I'm no better than he is. I'll tell you one thing, though. Now listen carefully. I'm not better than he is, but I'm better off. Am I? Are you? Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have a future home in heaven. I have a glorious future. Not because I attained it, because he, in his mercy and grace, worked it out for me. God hates pride. And with all your pride, friend, if Jesus Christ isn't your Savior, God doesn't think much of you. Now we have some people that say that they are independent and they think for themselves and they act for themselves and they do for themselves. Well, that won't do you any good either before God. What you need is the salvation that God gives. Now, it is true that there are many men in the world today. Oh, they have risen high. They behave well. They're courteous. They're refined. They hold their knives and forks correctly. And a few other things that they do. But that does not make them fit in God's presence. Now, let me tell you the story that you have often heard. The Caliph and the Cat. How many of you are familiar with the story of the Caliph and the Cat? Nobody? Oh, I just tell it to you. The Caliph was ruler over a certain group of people. And there were like many of the people in the States. You don't have them here in Canada. They were very unruly. No courtesy. No gentleness, no genteelness. Very crude, rude, and rough. All the people in the city. And he called his advisors one day, what can I do for these people? They're terrible. Oh, one advisor said, you can't do anything for them. Then there's no hope. The other one said, oh, there is hope if you train them and educate them and refine them. Send them to the best schools. Give them good clothes. That'll improve. The Caliph said, I give you 4 weeks to prove that proposition. And this advisor went off hunting and seeking. One day, he saw the answer. You know what he saw? He went to a certain inn, and there was a cat walking on his hind legs and holding a cup of tea in his front paws. And he went up to the customer, put the cup of tea down, bowed, and went back on his hind legs. Why? This man said, why? And that's the answer. Culture. Refinement. Training people. And they'd be like that cat. And he bargained for the cat. He had to pay a lot of money for that cat. The owner brought a lot of it. And he brought the cat back to the Caliph. Caliph, I have the answer. Show it to me. Caliph, have a seat. Out comes this cat. Walking on the hind legs, tail straight behind, puts down the cup of tea, bows, and goes back. Caleb said, you're all right. This is the answer. Refinement, culture, and training. But the other fellow said,
let that cat do that again. And out comes the cat, holding the cup of tea in his front paws. You saw the fellow let out 3 mice. What happened? He dropped the cup of tea and went after the mice. Why? Because he's a cat by nature. And with all your refinement, my friend, and all your education and all your training, unless you are cleansed and by the blood of Christ and born again, you're not fit for God's presence. I have nothing against education. Get all that you can. But that will not fit you for God's presence until you are born into the kingdom of God. By accepting His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not fit for the divine presence. Well, now there are some people who say, there are many roads to Rome. That's right. But there's only one road to heaven. One, you know, that's a problem now with the religious leaders. Why can't we all go our separate way? We'll get there. Yes, you'll get there down. You won't get into heaven. But you people, you Christians, especially you brethren, you're so narrow-minded. Aren't we? The young lady shakes her head. You're so narrow-minded. Well, now let me ask you something. How much is one and one? Who said that? Thank you. One and one. Now, wait a minute. Not three? And for you higher mathematicians, not minus eight? Only two? That's narrow, beloved. That's exceeding narrow. But all truth is narrow. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get to God and be forgiven of your sins. That's narrow. But the Lord deals in narrow things. When they crossed the Red Sea, there was only one place that they could go across in safety. When they crossed the Jordan, there was only one place that they could go across in safety. When Naaman was to be cured of his leprosy, there was only one river that he could go into and dip and be cleansed. Only one. At first he objected. That little dirty Jordan, that muddy river. But we have big ones where I came from. Like the Mississippi. And the St. Lawrence. Big ones. One little servant, a wise citizen. If you want to get better, you better go in that dirty Jordan. The only one, and he went there and was cleansed. My friend, the only way that you can be cleansed of your sins and be fit for God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to force you into it. You have to decide. Who am I? Was it 4 or 5 minutes to 12? I believe we have one more. Verse 19. Who am I? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach thee. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Idolatry. Oh, but you say, sir, I don't worship the trees. I'm too intelligent for that. Yeah, but do you worship money? What do you worship? Who is your God? Well, I don't believe in God. So what? Does that mean that there is no God? Because you don't believe? And besides which, I like the Bible. You know, long before you were born, God said what he thought of people that didn't believe in God. You know what he said? On 3 occasions, the fool says there is no God. So if you don't believe in God, you're a fool, and don't talk to me after the meeting. Take it up with God. I didn't say it. God said it. You go and argue with God if you say there's no God. Now the story is told of a certain man. He didn't believe in God either. Ah, nonsense. No God, no God. And he was working in a place of many machines. And one day, the sleeve of his uniform got caught in that machine and he was being drawn in. What do you think he said? Oh, God help me! Somebody heard him and turned off the electric switch. And when they settled down, they said, you asked God to help you. We understand that you don't believe in God. You know what he said? If there isn't a God, there ought to be. He was in trouble. Mr. Andy Young, in connection with the bomb that went off in Atlanta at the Olympics, a memorial service. And there he was seeking to comfort the relatives. And among the many things that he said, we look forward to the future. We are trusting in the human spirit. Are you? You're in a plane that's coming down to the Atlantic Ocean on fire. Human spirit? Oh no. You need more than the human spirit. You need divine. I'm going to stop at this point. Let me read something for you, written by a dear brother, now with the Lord. We knew him well. He was about 96 or 97 when he died. And he wrote these words. Know thou that every soul is free to choose his life and what he will be. This eternal truth is given. God will force no one to heaven. It's up to you. God isn't going to force you to go to heaven. It's up to you. You make the decision. The dear brother in Detroit, Ken Hampton. Has he ever been this way, Kenneth Hampton? If he ever comes, give him the blessing. He was in college. And among the many subjects required was what they call ROTC, Reserve Officers Training Corps. Ken Hampton had great difficulty in marching. Just couldn't get his feet together to march correctly. The colonel called him one day. Ken, I cannot make you march correctly. But I can make you very sorry if you don't march correctly. At graduation day, Ken got first prize for marching. Yeah. Now, God isn't going to force you into heaven, you see? But I want to tell you, you're going to be mighty sorry if you're not there. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. Thy holy presence. We come through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thou hast been the silent listener to all that has been said. And thy word assures us, that thou knowest those that are thine. Thou knowest the heart of everyone present. Those that are thine and those that are not thine. We have sought in feebleness to present to those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, how they may know him. We leave the matter in thy hand. We leave the matter with thee and with those that are present. How we pray that they will make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One more little story. Two young fellows. And you know how some young fellows are? They're real smart. You have any kind of? We call them smart alecks. Yeah, they know everything. They know all the answers. Well, these were two smart boys. American boys. I had a hint there. Well, we'll find it.
And there was a blind man in the community. Totally blind. Let's have some fun with the blind. Blind man, what's in my hand? Was that fair? The man can't see. Blind man, what is in my hand? The blind man felt, and as the Lord would have it, a feather protruded from between his fingers. You have a bird in your hand. Blind man, is the bird dead or alive? How about it? If they said alive, he'd squeeze the bird to death. If they said dead, he'd open his hands and let the bird out. Blind man, is the bird dead or alive? The blind man answered, that depends on you. Whether you will take Jesus Christ as Savior or not depends on you. God forces nobody into heaven. You decide what you will do. Now I'd like us to sing, please, once again the gospel story. I thought I had it marked here. 341. 341. Once again the gospel story from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? Come believing. Come to Jesus. Come believing. Come to Jesus. Look and live. The organist is not with us? All right, then I have to listen to this one. I suggest that we rise. And beloved, if you would see souls saved here today, sing this as if you mean it. Sing it with life. So many assemblies, I like your singing. You sing well. So many assemblies sing so slow. Now here's a sinner going down to the abyss, and you come believe. You think he'd come? No. So let us sing this as if we mean it, in sincerity and in truth.